In other circumstances, it would have been a pleasant afternoon's hike up the ravine. Bubbles found it hard to remember the danger. The lower forest smelled as fresh as she remembered. And then the scramble up the rocks took her breath away. A clear rivulet still splashed from pool to pool, and red and gold amphibians still hurled themselves into the water as she came near. A few rocks had moved in seasonal floods. She recognized one boulder by an odd inclusion, now upside down from where it had been, but most of the trail was familiar. Higher on the slope, a breeze stirred, lifting the hair on the back of her head as it rose from the forest canopy below. She could see more of the sky now, and smell the sea as well as the rock and flowers. Rafa, behind her, scuffed her feet in the dirt, but said nothing. Bubbles was glad. She wanted to combine the old memories, once thrust away as too childish, with the present experience. Finally, she stopped, winded, on a broad, flat outcrop where the ravine angled south, away from the shore. Looking back, she could see nothing but billows of green concealing the shape of the land itself. Rafa dropped to the rock and lifted the hair from her neck.
You did this every year?
Most years. For a while, when my Uncle Jean would come and bring the cousins. I suppose really Mother wanted us out of the main house, away from the more important visitors. All of us together could be noisy. When we camped over here, we'd divide into two groups at least and play hunting games, stuff we'd read about or seen in the old cubes.
We used to go to my Aunt Katie's house and ride up in the hills on Niger. No pretty islands there.
Ugh. Cold and wet all year round, isn't it? You didn't camp out, surely?
Of course. Better than in this heat. We pretended to be steppe nomads and so forth, but mostly we lived in caves. There was a big one, very handy, about a day's ride away.
Bubbles glowered at the water.
Cave. I wish I knew if Kel told the truth. He said it was big enough for all of us, but he wouldn't share it, the pig. There's no place else as good, if it's real.
You're sure you have no idea where it is?
No, only where it isn't. We did look, but we never found it in the likely places, up here or in the valley between this hill and the next. And knowing where not to look still leaves a lot of island. Why? You think we should look?
If we found it, we'd be a lot safer than hiding under a rock. And we'd better be going. We certainly aren't safe sitting here chatting.
Oh, right. We'll climb straight up over the spine. I hope the old trail along the crest is still there. It has a few hidey holes I know about.
Along the spine of the island, the rock outcrops formed stout pillars, 2 to 3 meters tall, in ragged rows that wobbled along parallel to the crest like rotting teeth. Between the rows, the hollows were unevenly filled with soil and overgrown with thorny vines and bushes. A winding thread of trail had been hacked clear at the very crest. Bubbles could not tell if it had been cut by hunters or hunted. It didn't really matter. They would have to get off it quickly, because the hunters certainly knew about it. She counted the pillars. If only she could remember the pattern. 3 tall ones, a short, 2 tails, and then 2, 3 short ones. There. She squeezed between 2 of the shorter rocks. Had she been that much thinner 5 years ago, or had the rocks shifted? And then crouched to wiggle beneath the huge briar that lay over what had always been her own special hiding place. The hooked thorns scraped on her knapsack as she slithered further in, her nose hardly off the dark, dank-smelling soil. It hadn't felt this small the last time.
You have to go under this thing, Rafa. You can't go through it with anything short of power tools.
Oh, give me a step pony any day.
But Rafa slithered very efficiently for someone who had often pretended disdain for physical exertion.
Do you want me to do anything about the way we came in?
No.
Bubbles edged past the cluster of woody stems and felt around the far side of it. She had had a little hole there once, with a box in it, but she couldn't see. It was dark under the briar's canopy after the brilliant sunlight on the trail, a warm brown gloom lightened by freckles of sun.
As much as we've shaken it, the outer branches will go back down. I used to do this all the time, and the guys never found me.
The little hole in which she'd tucked a box full of handy items years before had grown into something a hand span across and deeper than her fingers. Burrow. Something was living there. She tried to remember just what did live on this island. Nothing venomous, nothing particularly large or dangerous. Except the hunters. She realized she'd forgotten them for a few minutes. Here, where her safe childhood was so real, and the hunters hardly believable. On the far side of the briary tangle, lodged in fallen leaves against another standing stone, Bubbles found her box. She blessed her younger self for insisting she wanted a real expedition box, the kind that was supposed to last through anything. She dragged it out of the leaves and scrunched sideways so that Rafa could come up beside her.
I forgot this the last time we were here. We were in a hurry to leave. I was going to St. Eleanor's for the first time, and by the time I'd remembered, I'd left it. There was no time to go back.
The box had no lock, only an L-shaped catch, now crusted with dirt and time. Bubbles broke a fingernail on it. Probably nothing in it. A decayed sandwich, some childish bauble. But something drove her to open it.
Let me try.
Bubbles slid the box over to her and sucked her bruised fingertip. Rafa had picked up a twig and used that to prod out the caked dirt around the latch. When she pushed, the latch moved minutely. She handed the box back.
Here, you open the box. It's yours.
Bubbles felt a curious reluctance to open it, as odd as the determination a moment ago to make that latch move. Silly, she thought. There could be nothing really useful in this box. Not as useful as the things in the survival packs on the flitter. Just junk that would remind her what a silly child she had been. She struggled for a moment, having forgotten the exact movement it took to pry the lid up. The box had a good seal on it. Then it lay open, a time capsule from her childhood, her forgotten treasures shaking a little from the movement of her hand. A seashell, one of the purple cone-shaped ones. A bracelet woven of dune grass. She blushed, remembering who had woven it and why. A little black blob, smooth all over, raked from the fire the time Kel had melted the handle from the frying pan. A single sheet of photocells ready to be spread in the sunlight again, if she had anything to recharge. A bit of faded ribbon. She remembered clearly the shade of purple it had been. A whistle, a foil-wrapped ration bar, a tube of first aid ointment, and a packet of bandages. A length of fine fish line, neatly coiled, with two hooks and a handful of differently shaped sinkers. And the compact silvery locator beacon, with the lanyard still looped through the ring on top.
Isn't that a...
Yes, and it will work!
Bubbles looked at the charge level on the side. As she'd expected, it had held its charge. The good ones did, and her dad had always provided them with good ones. Besides, she had the photocells to top it up with.
We can get help!
She sat up cheerfully, only to ram her head into the nest of thorns close above. Her eyes watered, and she held very still. It was the only way with these island briars. Jerk away, and she'd lose half her hair and part of her scalp. In the time it took Rafa to work her free, she was able to think why they couldn't use the locator yet. There would be no easy rescue, any more than easy extrication from the briar.
Oh, but if we can get to Bandon, if we could steal their flitter maybe, while they're hunting the others, this will override anything.
There are more of them on Bandon. Hold still yet. You've got a thorn right in your scalp. Do these things leave the husk in?
Sometimes, and it festers if they do. Oh, get it all if you can.
Bubbles was a little surprised at how deft Rafa's fingers were, and how calm she was staying. Was this the same Rafa who had seemed an obsessive warrior?
There. I don't think there are any husks, but if you'll hand me that tube of gunk... Thanks. I can put a dab on a few places. Yes, they were bleeding a bit. That'll keep the flies off.
How long has it been?
Bubbles put everything back in the box and latched it. They had left Petrus and the others before noon, and she realized they had better think about where to spend the night. Light came to them between the stones, sideways. The slope below, on the west side of the island, would still be in daylight for a while. But where would the hunters go? Up here along the high trail? Along the slopes?
Should we stay here? We're out of sight, but if they have any kind of senses.
I don't know a better place, not without time to look for it.
Bubbles peeked out the west side of the tangle. They were high enough that she could see out over the lower forest to the sea. The few clouds drifted past, their shadows sliding up the slope.
The main thing is to keep well away from Petrus and the others. Someone has to get back.
Oh! Rafa's gasp came just as Bubbles realized one shadow wasn't sliding upslope. Small, regular, it moved swiftly against the wind, downslope to the south of them, and then ran along parallel to the ridge.
Eyes down!
Bubbles took her own advice. Surely the briar was thick enough. Old, tangled, too dense for anyone to see through. But every freckle of light suggested it was as porous as a fishing net. She felt sure she had something shiny on her back, something that would glitter. She should take it off. But her arms had no strength. She lay, hardly breathing, trembling. The flitter's shadow passed over them, as if a cold hand lay on her back and went somewhere else. North, she thought, toward the tip of the island. But she dared not move.
So, they're here. And it's not a game.
No.
The Serrano Legacy Hunting Party is continued on the next CD.